Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hello, and welcome to Your Family Dog podcast. I'm Julie Fudge-Smith, and I'm here with Colleen Pilar, who's going to introduce our story and our problem for the day. Hi, Colleen.
Hey, Julie. It's good to talk to you today.
You too.
We have Halloween coming up. It's turning into fall, and Halloween is always big fun for families, but not always big fun for family dogs. It's an interesting challenge because we think if we enjoy activities that our dogs will too, and it doesn't always turn out that way. So when I was writing Living with Kids and Dogs, I came across a story that I thought was really sort of interesting. And I don't have the dog's name, so we're just going to call her Ginger. But the story is that a five-year-old boy was bitten when he came to Ginger's house. But this boy was a regular visitor at Ginger's house. He was the neighborhood boy who played often with the children in Ginger's family. He stepped forward to get candy, and when he did, she lunged forward and bit him severely in his face. And the bite required multiple surgeries to repair the damage. And that's a really traumatic event for everyone, including Ginger. So the question that we have to deal with here is, what happened? How could it be that this dog, who liked children and liked this child, had such a bad experience and was so confused by the events of Halloween? And my theory is, it does not report in there what costume the child was wearing. But my theory is something about his appearance was frightening to her. And he, being so comfortable with her, kept coming forward like, "Hi, Ginger, happy to see you." And she was busy going, "I'm not liking this." So he might have had a little antenna on his head like some kids do on Halloween, or a big Darth Vader cape or a mask or something that made him move funny or sound different or just generally be kind of scary. Have you ever had an experience like that where a dog just went, "Huh, this is not cool"?
Absolutely. And it didn't have to do with a costume, but it did have to do with Halloween. And one year, I happened to have a tape of a wolf howling, so I decided I was going to play that at my front door to make things kind of spooky. So when I put it on, my dog just freaked out. He looked at me like, "What the heck? Who is in our living room?" And he wouldn't go anywhere near the front door, and he hid underneath the sofa. And when I turned the tape off, it took a while for him to come on out. So I think that Halloween has all kinds of things that can scare our dogs. And I think sometimes that we fail to recognize the signals that they're giving us that say, "Look, I'm really uncomfortable with this situation." So why would our dogs be uncomfortable with Halloween? I mean, it's fun for us. They look different, but why is this so unusual or so difficult for so many dogs?
It's a real interesting question, and it all goes back down to socialization. So in the first 4.5 months, a puppy sort of defines what normal is for himself or herself. And normal is the stuff he sees every day. Well, that's true for us too. So when you have a really young puppy, you want to have very happy, positive experiences with, if possible, everything your puppy might encounter over the course of his entire life. So that includes people of all ages, people of all races, people with all different ethnicities, different kinds of appearances, different weights, different ways of moving, people who limp, people who use crutches, people in wheelchairs, people on rollerblades, people on bicycles. And that's just people. That's not even dealing with things like open stairs. Lots of dogs find those creepy. Or elevators, or just anything. I had a dog who freaked out about snow because she didn't see it in her first 9 months. And then all of a sudden, one night, went out to go potty and the whole world had gone white. Woo, 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 woo. Very nice for my neighbors. But there was no way to socialize this puppy to that. So what we have to do is try to give dogs a really broad, positive experience of the world. But then Halloween is tricky because Halloween is all about making the world different. I mean, if you think about it, a lot of kids don't like Halloween as much as we would like them to like Halloween. Even when you were telling about that wolf howling tape you were playing to make your door scary, I bet there were children in your neighborhood who might not want to approach a house where there was a wolf howling.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, when you mentioned that, I took my grandkids trick-or-treating last year, and my granddaughter would go absolutely nowhere near a house that didn't have a light on the front porch because it was just too scary. And something, most of the time when we walked down the street, the front porches here are lit, and it wasn't lit, and she didn't like it, and I didn't make her go. But thinking about that for our dogs, too, not only do we need to meet all different kinds of people, we need to meet people of all different ages, and we need to expose them to a wide variety of substrates, like grass and gravel and straw and sand and all kinds of things. Mulch, we need to take them to, you know, out in the day and at night and to quiet streets and busy streets and all kinds of things. And the more we expose them, then the more they're going to be comfortable when new things hit them, because it may not be exactly like what I experienced, but I did experience a lot of different substrates. So walking on this rubber mat isn't not that different than kind of walking on grass. And that's going to help our dogs eventually at Halloween. If we can expose them to a wider variety of things, they may not find it quite as freaky. But Halloween is a very unique time of the year, and even dogs who are well socialized can find it extraordinarily uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And what you just said about your granddaughter, about how when she didn't want to approach the dark house, you didn't make her, that's another really important piece of socialization that a lot of people think simply exposing a dog to things is helping them to be comfortable with it. That's not true. That we need it to be a positive experience, and we need the dog to be comfortable and happy. And even when it's a positive experience, we still have to recognize that there's this whole learning curve going on. So I had a really funny experience last weekend. I went to Salt Lake City for the first time. Have you ever been to Salt Lake City, Julie?
No, I haven't.
It's surreal. It's in a basin surrounded by mountains. So it's like flat, 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 mountain everywhere you look. So it was like, I don't know. It was just, I felt like I was on an alien planet. And I spent the entire weekend going, wow, there's mountains. Wow, there's mountains. And my son was cracking up. And he said, I did that too when I came here. I moved here. He's stationed there now in the Air Force. I just kept going, oh my gosh, mountains. Because we have mountains in Virginia and they're beautiful. But the view that we have of them builds toward it. It's not flat, 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 giant mountain. It felt like you could reach out and touch them in any given direction. And it was lack of socialization. I was not comfortable. It was not that I was uncomfortable, but I was thrown out of my, I was thrown off balance by the fact that it was such a different environment. So helping a dog to assimilate and feel comfortable is the key. And the more broad experience they have, the more comfortable they are in a variety of situations.
I agree. And I actually had this similar experience when I went to Colorado Springs, because you're driving along this plain and suddenly the Rocky Mountains just rise up. And it was really hard for me to get used to the fact that it was still daylight, but you couldn't see the sun. It went behind the mountains. It was very odd. So I understand the situation. But, you know, it can also work in a micro environment. When we lived in Washington, or in Virginia, and my husband had work up in Washington, D.C., I had to go to some social events in Washington, D.C. that were simply very different than anything I had experienced in the Midwest. And one of them that comes to mind was a baby shower. And so I go to this baby shower, and these are intelligent, talented, extremely professional women. And they were giving gifts of French baby clothes, and one person gave a little fake fur to the child. And I was like, this doesn't happen like this in the Midwest. I actually made her a quilt by hand, because that's what we do in the Midwest. And she loved it, and she was gracious about it, and everybody was amazed at the colors in the quilt, because they don't come that way when you just buy them. But for me, it was a really eye-opening experience and sort of that micro-socialization. This is not what I'm used to at a baby shower. This is what they do on the East Coast. This is not what we do here in Ohio. So you can have these micro-experiences like that, too, and I think sometimes that's how dogs feel, too. I'm in my own home. This is what I'm used to. And suddenly there's this weird Space Invader on my front porch. So it's maybe not the big, huge experience, but it's a real distortion of a familiar event. And that right. can be very confusing to dogs.
Right. And that is a really tricky piece. Somewhere along the way, someone told me that the dogs go by an additive philosophy, where if it looks like you and it sounds like you and it smells like you, then it's you. But if it looks like you and it sounds like you, but it smells different, it's not you. Or it doesn't move like you, then not you. So when in doubt, be anxious, be wary, be careful. And that is, you know, a perfectly normal response. We do it too, but we don't expect it from our dogs sometimes because we're like, oh, it's just a costume. Oh, it's just fun. So really, really good socialization is a very important piece of this, but the important thing to keep in mind from this point forward, because your dog socialization is what it is how do we recognize when our dogs are comfortable or uncomfortable in a situation, and how can we really advocate for them to keep them really happy and safe? So first off, recognizing that Halloween should likely cause some challenges for your dog, which is a surprise to many people, and then how to know when those moments occur. So what are the tips that you like to give people for that?
Well, what I usually tell people is make sure that your dog has a safe place to go so that when the doorbell rings or when you're on the porch, if the dog doesn't want to be there, they have a place they can retreat to that makes them comfortable. So I generally suggest you have a bed in the back of the house or maybe in a bedroom, have a tasty stuffed Kong there for them so that your dog and Heaven have easy access to it so he can move over there to get away from this distress if he needs to be able to regroup. The other thing I do is I like to tell people, keep a close eye on your dog for him acting in ways that he doesn't normally do. Maybe he's the kind of dog who usually looks you right in the eye and really makes great eye contact. And now I can't look at you and I can't look at these things. Averting your gaze away from something strange is a signal that I'm stressed by this and I can't handle this. I don't like the look of it, so I'm not going to look at it. So if your dog is continually looking away from things, then it might be something that makes him uncomfortable. And if he normally goes up to people, but he tends to pull back or hesitates about moving towards them, he's telling you very clearly, this makes me uncomfortable. Do you have any other ideas, Colleen?
Well, those are all really good. And again, the whole key is we do not want to force a dog into an uncomfortable situation. We want to set the dogs up to be happy, safe, and comfortable. So when your dog is saying, I'm uncomfortable, don't go, oh, hey, it's just Mike in a Darth Vader costume. Go say hi. Because your dog is saying, I don't want to see Mike in the Darth Vader costume. And that's a fair point. That's a fair point. And respecting and honoring how your dog is feeling is such an important piece. So really recognizing the body language piece. And I think people miss that sometimes because we have these really good intentions, but we tend to look at things from the human perspective where we say, this is intended kindly. This is intended to be fun. So therefore it's kind and it's fun. And that's not always true. That happens a lot with costumes too. I mean, when you see dogs in costumes, they usually look unhappy. In fact, once in a group class orientation, I passed out pictures of dogs in costumes as part of a lesson in stress signals, because photo after photo showed a dog, you know, dressed up as a spider with a really sad face, or a dog in a firefighter costume looking absolutely morose. So lip licking and, you know, big half moon eyes and turning their faces away from the camera. And yet these were on the products to sell them. So, look, your dog could be unhappy too, was the message I was receiving. But until you recognize stress signals, sometimes you just see, oh, look, cute dog in a firefighter costume. You don't see sad dog in a firefighter costume. So making things fun for your dog is really the key.
I agree, and I have done exactly the same thing. I've used photographs like that to say, is this a happy dog? Especially after I've gone through stress signals. And then the chagrin I get from people like, oh my goodness, I did that to my dog last year. I said, well, that doesn't mean you have to do it this year. But the other thing, I'm sorry, that I wanted to point out is that dogs will sometimes tell you very clearly they don't like the costume, even whether or not they get a chagrin look, they won't move. I remember we used to play a game sometimes where you have to put a t-shirt on your dog and have him run to the end of the line and take the t-shirt off, hand it to the next dog to do a relay. And some dogs, mm-hmm. you put a t-shirt on them and they stop moving. They just stop moving. So if your dog stiffens or freezes, stops moving at all, when you come at him with a costume or put one on, he's clearly telling you, this makes me uncomfortable and I can't do this.
And it's not funny.
It's not funny.
There's so many videos where people are like, look, he can't move when he's in his costume. Isn't it funny that he can't walk? No, he's sad. He's sad. Let's be sad. Let's not be amused when our dogs are sad. But again, it's a matter of education that, you know, really recognizing what your dog is thinking and feeling.
Right. And if people want to know more about stress signals, certainly on your website, Living with Kids and Dogs, you have a wonderful gallery of photographs of dogs who are showing stress signals and some very happy dogs. I always appreciate the fact you threw some happy dogs in there too, Colleen.
Yeah, we have to have happy dogs.
And then on my website,
see the happy dogs.
Yeah, and Colleen's website is livingwithkidsanddogs.com. Mine is apositiveconnection.com. And if you go to my blog page, I've got plenty of blogs on stress signals, how to recognize them, and there's photographs on those too. So if you want to learn more, those are two different resources you can look at, and we'll have those in the show notes for episode 2 as well.
Well, that sounds all really good. I think that the real idea here is to, you know, look at Halloween as a potentially stressful event for your dog and to really be prepared for that. So if you have a puppy, let's get the socialization going now. And if you have an adult dog, let's really, really, really work on making sure your dog is safe and happy. Next week, we're going to be talking a little bit more about specific tips for a Halloween night and making that a fun event for your dog. But I think that kind of covers the basics of why Halloween might be an uncomfortable event for your dog, even though we think it's so fun. Is there anything else you wanted to add to that, Julie?
Just one other thing is that it's not just Halloween where we tend to stress out our dogs. Remember, there are other things that can happen that are similar. Themed birthday parties can be very difficult for dogs if all the children are coming dressed up as animals or something like that. Garage sales can be extraordinarily difficult for dogs because their environment is radically changed. And there's, once again, a big parade of people coming through and they're carrying stuff. So that can be difficult because they're having a major spatial disruption and things are in unusual places. Lots of unusual people are coming to the door. In-home parties, such as Tupperware parties or clothing parties, where people are trying on a lot of clothes, those can be disruptive to dogs as well. So think about the fact that there are other things that are similar. Weddings, people arriving in a wedding dress. You look like you. Mm-hmm. You smell like you. No, you don't look like you. I don't know who you are. So formal attire, that kind of thing can also freak dogs out. So remember that Halloween is a special occasion. There are other things that can trigger the same sort of response in your dog. So keep those in mind as well. So I think that does wrap up the topic, but do come back next week when we talk about specific strategies for that particular night. So, Colleen, I think we have a question.
Yeah, we got a question. We're so excited to get questions. We love getting questions. If you have a question you'd like us to talk about, our phone number is 614-349-1661, or you can visit us at yourfamilydogpodcast.com.
Yes, I was wondering what your thoughts are on getting another dog to keep your current dog company while you're at work. I have a neighbor who has a 9-month-old mini Aussie that she adopted when it was about 8 weeks old. She's taken it with her everywhere, including to work, so they've essentially been together 24/7 for many months now. She now wants to leave the dog at home while she's at work, and she's feeling guilty, so she asked me what I thought about her getting another dog to keep the current dog company. Just kind of curious about your thoughts on that. Thanks a lot. Bye.
So, Julie, what do you think about that question? Do you think it's a good idea to get another dog to hang out with your dog when you're at work?
Well, Colleen, I think this is one of those "it depends" kind of solutions. It's not necessarily a bad idea, but it's not necessarily a good idea either. Because there's so many variables in getting another dog. What if the dog you get to go with your first dog doesn't like your first dog? What if the second dog teaches your first dog bad behavior? What if your first dog actually has genuine separation anxiety and getting another dog isn't going to solve that problem? So I think that it kind of depends. It could work for some dogs, but boy, there's an awful lot of situations where it could actually compound the issue. What do you think?
Well, I always tell people if you want to get a second dog, you should want to get a second dog for you. It should never be that you want to get a second dog to address some sort of concern that you have in your first, because it's usually a mistake. So
I agree. I think that's a perfect way of putting it.
And I'm all for you want multiple dogs, go for it. But let's make sure you've got your theories right here for all of the reasons that you just said. So I think the very first thing I would say to this person is, are you worried that your dog isn't going to be happy home alone? Because if that's the problem, there are lots of things you can do to improve that. But why don't you see how it's going first? I mean, first, let's see. If the dog is no longer going to work with you, leave the dog home, see what you think. Is the dog okay with that, or is the dog worried? And if the dog is worried, then you want to look for ways to make the dog more comfortable home alone. And there are lots of positive reinforcement trainers who can help teach that skill. And honestly, I think that's one of the most important skills that families can teach the dog. We do need to teach dogs to feel comfortable alone at times, because there will be times that they are alone, and we want them to be happy about that. What do you think?
I agree. I think that's exactly the right solution. Your dog needs to learn how to be alone, because the other thing is if you have two dogs and they can't possibly be alone without one another, what happens if one of them gets sick and has to go to the doggy hospital? Or what, heaven forbid, one of them should die? You're back to the original problem. So I think it's really important for dogs to learn how to be alone. Not only alone without you, but alone on their own. So one of the things I also do with owners is I help them teach their dogs to be alone or to be on their own even when they are home. So the dog learns that it's okay.
Yes.
My person can be here or my person cannot be here. I'm okay.
Yeah. And I tell expectant parents that's the number one skill I want them to teach their dog. I mean, there are multiple things I want your dog to learn before a baby arrives, but being happy alone in another room when they know you're home is a particularly challenging skill for some dogs. And we're not saying we want you to be, you know, leaving your dog separate from you all night. You know, you work all day and then you come home and say, and now it's time for you to be in another room. But we are saying for little short periods of time, we want this dog to be happy, comfortable, relaxed, alone, separated from you, whether you're home or not. And that is a hugely valuable skill that I think, you know, people could benefit from too. I like to be alone sometimes. It's a good thing.
I agree. I'm right there with you. There are times that I really enjoy being alone. So I think that'll do it for this time. Thank you so much for listening to your Family Dog Podcast. And we'll see you next time when we talk about actual solutions for Halloween night. Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.